Welcome to the Walnut Ridge Baptist Church podcast. This message comes from the North Sanctuary. For more information, please visit walnutridgechurch.com. Now here's the message.
Well, good morning, Walnut Ridge. Thank you so much for being with us. What a great day it is to be here worshiping our Lord together. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I believe if you were to ask me, hey, Eric, what's one block of scripture that you would say has had a huge impact on your life, on your ministry, I'd have to point to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, have had a significant impact on me. And Paul is essentially calling us out here. Hey, guys, if you are in fact a people united with Christ, then make my joy complete. Be unified. Be like-minded. Let us have the same attitude as Christ himself. Well, can you imagine that? Well, what a statement that is. If our attitudes were to be the same as that of Christ Jesus, that we, following his lead, would be completely, humbly obedient to our Lord God. Paul, he then goes on and he spells out what that obedience looked like. That's verses 6 through 11, which I know in your Sunday school classes, you're going to dig your heels into some of these verses together. But all of that leads up to where I want us to focus today, verses 12 and 13. Let me read them for us, and then we'll dive into our discussion. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. Lord, our prayer is that here in these next few moments, God, I pray that you would use your word. Lord, use these verses to let us consider things about our own walk, our own lives. Lord, we give you this time. Lord, use it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we jump into this discussion, this is one of those things. Before we get in there, there's something we have to make absolutely clear. Paul is writing these statements, right? What we read here in verses 12 and 13, he's writing all of this to people who have already been born again. That is extremely important that we grab hold of that truth. These are ones who have already believed upon Jesus as the Savior of their souls. You see, if we don't make that point crystal clear, then right from the beginning of all that we're going to discuss today, we're running the risk of twisting the intent or skewing the meaning of these words. We know Paul's audience. We can go back to chapter 1, verse 1. It says, to the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. These are believers we're talking about. The verse 12 in chapter 2 that we just read, therefore, my beloved, this is a very exclusive audience. These are the ones that it says here in that verse 12. These are the ones who have always obeyed. They were obedient to the gospel, true believers who had faith in Jesus Christ. Well, Eric, why are we hammering this point home today? See, we can't afford to separate this verse from the audience it was intended for. If we do that, there's a serious error that occurs in our theology. Like if you were to say this verse 12 to someone who was not a believer, That gives a very skewed picture of salvation. To tell someone who's not a believer, hey, you must go and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, that puts a different perception of what it means to be saved. Now, I don't know what it is about the Bible. It seems to be one of the only books that people feel like they have this license to reach in and pull a singular verse completely out of the context in which it was written. Now, when we handle the Word of God, let us use common sense as we do so. And I'll tell you, that's probably sound advice for you to use when it comes to any writing from any author. In reality, you could take any book, and if you picked out a sentence here or a sentence there, and then this one over here, you could piece together arguments that actually stand in direct contradiction to the opinions of the one who penned the book. Folks, as a church, as a people reading the Word of God, don't miss the mind of God as you immerse yourself into it and its truth. No, we need to read it, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak forth in light of what has been written. To obedient Christians, Paul is writing, believers in Jesus, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, the other thing I want us to be concrete on as we start into this, to the believers today, to the child of God, listen to me. The salvation of every true believer, every Christian, your salvation is complete in the workings of Christ. See, when Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished," he meant that. You and I, we are complete in Jesus. So what does this mean? This work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What do we do with that? If our salvation is complete in Christ, then what is this working out that we hear Paul talking about? Well, the best way I've heard this explained is it's almost a two-pronged thing, a two-part thing. When it comes to our salvation, there's the first part that is completed in Christ. Then there's the second part that we'd have to say is incomplete, though we have this guarantee that it will be brought to completion, to perfection one day. So the first part of our salvation, the part that's complete, that deals with the work that Jesus has done for us. Jesus Christ offered a complete atonement for your sin. Meaning, if you are a believer in what Jesus has done through his cross, his death, and his resurrection, you are effectively now united with the Father. You are co-heirs with Christ, clothed in his righteousness. You are sharing now in his glory. You are a recipient of eternal life. My friend, you have been saved completely. When it comes to the completed work of Christ, you're never going to find anything in Scripture where it now says, now you must go out and work to attain that which Christ has given you. No. This verse, what we know about our salvation, we are simply called to believe upon what Jesus has done, to receive it in faith. This verse is talking about the other side. Right? This is talking about not the work done for us, but the work now in us. We're talking about the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. See, when we're saved, Scripture says that we are now a people baptized with the Holy Spirit. We are given a new nature now that is consistent with him. But the thing about it is, it's not like the old nature is gone, right? The old nature, it still wants to hang on. It's clinging to with everything that it's got. And we're going to do battle with this old nature for the rest of our existence. The new nature that has been born in us, it is perfect, but it must be permitted to spread. Now, almost like a seed that gets planted within you. It must be permitted to grow, to permeate into every facet of your life. You know, for you and I to overcome, for this new nature to now overcome the old nature, we're talking about a salvation that is actively working itself out, that it is conquering, it's reigning supreme. Let us be clear. When we hear the verse, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," what we're talking about things in regard to our inner spiritual life. Well, let's dig a little bit deeper into all of this. What does it say that we are working out? It says, "Work out your own salvation," right? Your own. Now, recently here at church, we've been talking a lot about our efforts to have gospel conversations with our neighbors, with our friends, with our coworkers. And I've loved hearing the stories. I'm telling you, if you've got a story about you sharing the gospel with somebody, I'd love to hear it. Those kinds of things, those are what puts wind in my sail. That's the things that drive me through my day. See, I believe that every Christian that's worth his weight, I believe everyone will have within them this desire to expand God's kingdom, to see God's kingdom reach out even further. We're going to have some measure of excitement about sharing Christ with other people. But here's the thing. All of this must first start within our own hearts. I mean, before we can be a people spreading the truth to those people around us, we must first have that truth within us, right? I wondered, do you think it's possible that we could become so concerned with those people in our lives that we know are wandering away from God? Those loved ones, those people that we can get so caught up in, concerned about how far they've traveled away from the Lord, so wrapped up in them that we completely neglect the fact that we ourselves are wandering. Or to put it like Jesus did in Matthew 7, verse 4, he said, "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye?" Have we become a people who preach against being idol followers of Christ, but yet we ourselves are idol? Have we become the physicians that are prescribing the medicine, but we ourselves aren't partaking of it? Work out your own salvation. Church, this is a call. Be repentant of sin. Have the kind of faith that is constantly looking toward the cross. Courageously go out and pursue his righteousness. See, we don't now just sit back and prop up our feet and take it easy and say, "Well, all of our work is done because I'm saved now." Maybe let's try to put it differently. How about saying it like this? The thing we're being told to work out is the thing that God has already worked in. See, you can't bring out something that does not already exist within. See, this is why somebody who's not a believer is at a complete loss when it comes to spiritual things. There's nothing for them to work out, right? They cannot work any fruit of the Spirit out, for there's nothing that God has worked in. I thought kind of in lines of squeezing a tube of toothpaste. Go with me on this. You know, I've lived enough years and brushed my teeth enough times. Yeah, I don't think I've ever squeezed a tube of toothpaste and had anything else come out of there except for toothpaste. Now, I guess that's a shout out to the quality control of these toothpaste places, right? But I know what I'm going to get. If I squeeze a tube of toothpaste, toothpaste is going to come out. In the same way, if you squeeze a man's heart, the only thing that's going to come forth are the things that have been worked into that heart. So that's why when we talk about that old nature that refuses to relinquish its grip, that old nature wants to work out things according to your sinful nature. This is why we still see followers of Christ, and there be things protruding forth from their life, things like strife and malice and envy and lust and hatred and pride. But believer, listen to me. Something better has been born inside of you. Work out your own salvation. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Fruit consistent with his righteousness. Can I ask you today, what's coming forth from your life? I mean, you profess to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Well, would you let him now do his work within you? Would you be Christ-like if that Spirit is within you? Let him lead you. Let him influence you. Be Christ-like. Let's try yet one more angle of approach. We don't do what is written here in this verse 12, this working out of our own salvation. We don't do this in an effort to release us from the guilt of sin. No. That's that first prong, right? That's already happened. Jesus has already taken care of all that. He's already done that. That's completed in Christ. We work out our own salvation so that we would be freed up now of the power that sin is still trying to possess within us. God's already broken the yoke of slavery. He's broken that bondage to sin. And yet, what do we know? Well, that sin, it still lives, doesn't it? It still exists. Do you ever wonder? Do you ever struggle with why you still are affected the way you are by sin? I mean, even though you're now a believer in Christ, if the power of sin has been broken, why do we still struggle with it? For instance, you know, last week we talked about how believers still grapple with pride. And I had many, many people reach out and discuss and talk with me about that. But it's not just like pride when it comes to the churchy kind of things that we do. Believers struggle with pride in general. We're people proud of our standing in life, proud of our financial stability, proud of all of the accolades, all of the talents that we have. My friend, to you, I'd say with fear and trembling, allow the Spirit of God to work in you. Work out your own salvation. Maybe today, the story of your life. Though you sit here today, a child of God, you still seem very subject to anger, to having that quick temper. I mean, your salvation has already been effectively worked in you. But now, child of God, you must still endeavor forward day after day to work out your own salvation, always striving to walk in His righteous freedom, that freedom that's been blood bought for you. And one of my favorite pastors to read, y'all know I love reading other pastors. I love reading Charles Spurgeon. And he would always liken this to how they would remove big blocks of marble from a quarry, right? So they would cut loose an area of stone and pull it free from the quarry. So there stood this raw block of marble. It's been cut free, but still the sculptor, as it looks at that block, the sculptor's the only thing that can truly see the beautiful image that's inside of there. My friend, you and I, upon believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that puts us in a category of people who have been cut free by God's divine grace. You've been cut free from the quarry. You've been saved in Jesus. But now it's the sculptor's task to continue. As you continue to work out your salvation, it's a steady chipping away. It's a steady sculpting, carving that excess to display the beautiful image beneath. Through the constant dependence upon God's holiness, you go to work, working out your own salvation. Or consider what we know from the Old Testament, the story of the Israelites. You know, the Israelites were delivered. They were delivered out of that bondage to slavery in Egypt. And what do we know? They wandered through the wilderness. They were a people that were snake bit along the way. They were manna fed. They make it after all those years up to the point where the mantle has been passed, so to speak, from Moses to Joshua. Joshua leads them. They enter into the promised land, a people who are delivered now into the land that God has promised them. But what happened once they got into the promised land? Well, they had to go to work, didn't they? See, all those peoples who did not worship the one true God, all those people still resided in the land. They had to go to work. They had to go in. God commanded them, go in and drive out all of those people. Eradicate them from this land. I'm talking men, women, children alike. Get them all out of there. My friend, upon believing in Jesus Christ, here's the thing, you've entered into that promised land. You are a saved man, saved woman. But here's the thing, now you're saved, but now it's time to go to work. You have to get in there and go in and rout out every nation of sin that still exists in your life. Wipe them out completely, men, women, children. Don't leave them. You got to go to work, my friend. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But you say, Eric, how in the world do I do this? How? Like, how does this happen? Because I feel like I've tried, right? So many times I've tried. And yet I just keep coming up short. I mean, though I know I am saved in Jesus, I just keep stumbling. I keep stubbing my toe, my friend. I tell you, Couple this verse with the one right after it. Lean into the truth that we read in this verse 13. So right after we hear these words, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good purpose. Listen to that statement. It is God who is working in you. Boy, if there's ever a common theme, a common thread that we can hear running through Scripture, it's this right here. Yes, yes, child of God, it is your task now to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But hear me, this impossible task is not left up to your capacity. It's not left up to your capability. That verse 13 says, it's God who works inside of you. You're working out as God is the one who's working in. So don't come to me and tell me that you've got this thing that's impossible for you to overcome, because God is the one who's working in you, and he is all sufficient for any issue that you face. There's a power now in you that is greater than any power that exists in this world. All-sufficient grace is accessible now and dwells within you. Scripture talks about our Lord. Jesus himself talks about this spring of living water, never running dry. So should you continue to struggle and stumble your way through this life? As I struggle, guess what? If that bucket ever runs dry, I take it right back to the well of his unending grace, and I fill it once again. I allow him, Lord, continue to work in me as I work out my own salvation. See, he look what that verse says. He works in us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He's working in us both to will and to work. So he's even covering the want to, right? He's even giving you the want to. God even gives you the desire for his holiness, for this resolution, for you to be done with sin. All of it is from God, according to his good pleasure. Folks, I want you to know, it pleases our Lord to see you and I working out our own salvation. It pleases our God to see us leaning into his power, his strength, his will for our lives. Friends, I ask you today, what's God working inside of you? You know, maybe reality today, maybe it's been a really long time since you've ever experienced any kind of brokenness over the sin in your life. Can you remember a time when you were genuinely repentant over sin? I wonder today if you'd be so bold as to ask God to come and work in you as you work out your salvation. Would you be so bold, so courageous to invite him? God, would you come? Would you put your finger upon the thing in me that's not lining up with you? Can I ask you, what is the thing, as your heart is squeezed through this life, what is the thing coming out of your life? Maybe you're in need of refocusing today on the Lord. Maybe he's calling you to take that step in his direction, to courageously pursue him and his righteousness. What is coming forth out of your life? Are you struggling? Struggling with sin, even though you've been cut free? Would you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, I ask you right now. God, I pray that you would come, you would do a work in each heart and each life today. Lord, I ask that you would speak. Let us see clearly the truth about our own hearts. God, I pray you would work in us today. Lord, there's some of us that need you to refocus our hearts. Would you do that today? God, there's some of us, it's been a long time since we've been broken over sin, repentant over sin. God, forgive us. Lord, let us today have a new resolve, a new desire to be molded, shaped, cut into the images that you've intended us to be. Lord, help us to know it's you working in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you know, a lot of this message was heavily geared toward the born-again believer, right? The one who already knows Jesus. If you're watching today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my prayer for you is that God would bring you to a place that he'd open the eyes of your heart to see your need for him. To recognize the thing that's in you, the sin that's in you, that's in all of us. To bring you to a place where you know without Jesus, there's no delivering you from that sin. Folks, if God's doing anything in your heart, I'd love for you to reach out to us. And we would love to see how we could come alongside you and minister to you. We've got a QR code that we're going to show you here on the screen. You can just click that thing with your camera. It'll take you to a connect card that you can reach out to us directly. We as a staff, we would love to know what's going on, what God's doing in your heart, in your life, that we might better serve you. If you're new with us, the way we've been doing our giving through this time is largely online. So walnutridge.org or through the church app. You can text to give, you can mail those things in still, or you can hand deliver them here at the 360 campus or drop it off in our locked black mailbox here. Thank you for the way that you continue to generously give toward the ministry here at Walnut Ridge. A couple things for you to be in the know about. Sunday nights at 6 p.m., our prayer service. We'd love to have you come and be a part of that. If you can't make it on those Sunday nights, I'd invite you to join in We live stream those things. Today is a little bit special. We've got a banquet happening later in the day, so this will be a special prayer service that's going to happen in our South Sanctuary at 4:30 this week. But this the only Sunday we're breaking stride with the normal routine. But I'd invite you to come join us. Come be a part of what God's doing as we continue to pray that God would come. God would pour Himself out new and fresh upon this place, that He would come, that He would move. Our community outreach is coming up here in a couple weeks, October 3rd. We will be out amongst the community. We show up on that morning about 8:15 or 8:30 here at either the 360 or the West Campus, and there's a little bit of a get-together and a rally, and then we disperse out to these community service events. If you haven't got signed up, stop by the church foyer and put your name down on one of the lists, or you can reach out to Jerry Ritchie, and he'll help you get sorted out there. Wednesday nights are rocking and rolling, full steam ahead, so whether you're a preschool kid or you're an adult, we got something for you happening on Wednesday nights. Love to see you come and be a part of what God's doing here within the life of this church. Right around the corner, Fall Festival, Women's Retreat. Get that church app so you know all the latest things that are coming your way. Thank you for being with us today. Look forward to seeing you later for the prayer service. If not, have a great week, and we'll see you back next time.